Okay, we'll get underway. If we're all here. Welcome to the Finance and Court Committee. We have no apologies, but we note the leave of absence of Councillor Kempton, Councillor Noon and Councillor Woodhead. We note who's in attendance. We note confirmation of agenda, there's been no additional items raised. With me as Chair, conflict of interest, note that. For no public forum, no presentations, and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. We will check that out. Someone move it to a true and correct record. Councillor Hope, seconded by Councillor Neal. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Move on to actions. The first one regarding resourcing is complete. And the second one is the port ownership review. Nick? Are we making progress with that?
Yeah, I'm looking for putting the RFP together, but the action is hopefully not too far away.
Very good. Any comment on the actions? Everyone happy? Okay, we'll move on to the first item, General Manager's Report. Standard report, Roxburgh Depot lease is probably the only additional thing there. Anything to add to that, Nick? Councillor Bell.
Yeah, just through you, Mr. Chairman, just on that, I think it still is good to see somebody based at the Roxbury end. And I say that with the interest that I had by seeing Kevin Allen based in the service centre at Palmerston. And I'm wondering whether management should be considering looking at the Roxbury Council office the same way as we've based Kevin in Palmerston, because having that link in that area is still very, very important. And if when Trevor Crossan retires, I'm hopeful that there's another person with the same public exposure, if that's the right word, identity is the right word, in that community. He is a very, very important identity for the ORC in the Teviot Valley, right down through to the Raised Junction area. So I don't know how far he goes, but and of course he comes right up to Alex. But I sometimes wonder if it's the sake of having an office desk somewhere, why couldn't we look at putting him in the Roxburgh Community Board, or whatever they call it, service centre in Roxburgh, or somewhere like that, where we do have that local entity. We end up with the same problem otherwise as what we had with Queenstown when the chappie passed away. We lost that local identity, and Trevor Crossan is a local identity, and hopefully we'll have another local identity when Trevor goes in that area, because I think it's important that we have a link at that leg of the region.
Is there any other comment? Councillor Hope.
I concur with him. It's an identity, it's a connection to the actual community, and I'm sure Councillor Norton would probably say it when you've campaigned on your election and all the meetings that you've been to as well. It's strong, and they want someone there. So yes, I support you on that.
To Lawton.
Thank you. Yeah, I also support it, although I do realise it's part of a bigger review that Mrs. Gardner was undertaking on strategically how this organisation is best represented across the region to fulfil our service of ensuring that people have access to their council and councillors. So in terms of that broader strategic review, is there an update on when or you know, I mean, this is very contextual, so I just wanted to hear from you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I, as you remember, I brought the initial paper to you with the initial metrics and analysis of where our work is and also where our offices are located. And yes, there is a resolution on the table for me to go away and do further work on that, which of course I will do. I haven't progressed it in any great detail yet, largely because we're grappling with a couple of priorities. One is the Dunedin headquarters, and then this is the broader piece of work. That said, it is a challenge for us. We are a regional organisation, and there would be many communities across Otago that would probably see some benefit or some connection with a local identity, being a staff member of ours, being located in the community. And there are some advantages to that, absolutely. On the other hand, from an operational perspective, there are, and as was highlighted in the report that I put to you previously, there are also some advantages of having a more centralised workforce in a couple of locations across Otago. And they are largely around the opportunity to have people who get to work with colleagues and get to be part of the wider team ORC, which doesn't necessarily happen to the same degree if you're located as an isolated individual working in an office on your own. And while we have done things, for example, set up a Queenstown office, which is great, I think, and I'm hoping to bring some metrics to you on that at some point, but actually in reality the amount of public engagement, foot traffic if you like, that we get as a consequence of that is not significant. And so I think, you know, there is a bit of a weighing up that needs to be done in terms of how do we make sure that we have an organisation where we are operating as one team, where our staff are fully on board with the direction that we're going in, and also serve these communities that want to have a connection with us. There's nothing like the personal connection, I understand that, but we also have other tools available to us that perhaps weren't as available to us in the past, other communication methodologies and such. So I don't think it's an easy, there's not a perfect answer. I think because of the, it also depends on individual staff members, and I'd rather not talk about individuals, but I guess what I'd say is they are connected to their communities, and that's correct. But we could equally as much have somebody who hasn't been from a community, who's appropriate to be recruited into the role, who has no connection. So there is that potential as well, and I think we have to think about the best way of serving our communities overall.
Councillor Scott.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting and an important topic. You know, like from the Queenstown perspective, having people based there and measuring it by the amount of foot traffic into the office, I mean, that's just one of the aspects, as we know, having that local presence and familiarity and understanding and credibility, time to respond. I'm wondering whether, in fact, let's take Queenstown, or not Queenstown, let's take Roxburgh, for example. What's wrong with a situation where a person lives there, is based there, maybe works out of there 2 or 3 days a week and spends 2 days in Alexandra, so there's that sort of balance. What we've been hearing over the last tens of years is that technology will sort a lot of this stuff out. And to be honest, I'm not particularly confident with technology today.
Yep.
Because I would have thought the person in Roxburgh, with some confidence, could turn up and on their phone or on their small iPad, they're talking to their, on Skype, and it's all regular, just in, out, always constant. And I say it again, I haven't got a lot of confidence in IT and look, for example, I'm turning up with hard, you know, paper, copy paper, and I was one of the first users of the iPad, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, being, there's a few dimensions to this question, and I wouldn't necessarily assume that having everybody based in Alexandra, you know, touchy-feely, is necessarily any better than having a percentage out and about around the district that are using technology and regular meetings and so forth. I'm just not entirely convinced that we've come to the correct conclusion. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I just think there's some further thinking about this, because I don't think we're doing justice to the opportunity.
Councillor Neil.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to agree with the other speakers, and particularly Councillor Scott, who said used the word credibility, because I believe it helps the credibility of the ORC enormously, having somebody within the community. And if the person who's now very much a member of the community ceased in that job, and a person from outside the community was put there and put into that position, it's not much different than being like the policeman. You've actually got to become part of the community. And I know it's the modern way now that we just amalgamate everything up, but it hasn't worked very well in a whole lot of instances. And I think of the police in particular, where they've closed down small stations, and it's been quite detrimental. We've got a station at Portobello that hasn't been closed down, and we'd be devastated if we've just had a change of policeman. We'd be devastated if they took that away. I'm not saying that people would be devastated if they suddenly didn't have an ORC person in Roxburgh, but I just think that gives that great link for us. I can appreciate, though, there are reasons why, in terms of efficiency, but yeah, it's in a lot of ways a backward step.
Mr. Digger.
I have a different point of view, Mr. Chairman, to Mr. Councillor Bell and Councillor Neil. One of the good things about an earlier meeting this morning was to hear from the new manager of Consents, Joanna Gilroy, and her strengthening of the Central Otago office at Alexandra with new management positions, new compliance positions. And I was thinking to myself at the time, this is great because this is us moving towards a genuine Central Otago hub. And we've talked about that reasonably often around this table, and about the desirability of having a fully coordinated, well-managed, multifunctional Central Otago office. We're having this discussion about the Roxburgh Depot. We could equally be having it about Ranfurly or Tapanui or Hawea if we happen to have some high-profile, good citizen person like Mr. Crossan in those places, but we haven't. And neither would we ever consider appointing a staff member into a depot at Tapanui or Ranfurly or Naseby or anywhere else. We would, though, confirm the Chief Executive's direction, Ms. Gilroy's direction, in building up a solid hub in Central Otago. I happen to think it should be in Cromwell, but happens to be in Alexandra. That's the way we should be going. Headquarters building somewhere in the Greater Dunedin area and a hub in Central Otago. Let's not put anything in the way of carrying on that trend. That's my point of view.
I concur with that. Any other comment? If not, there's three recommendations. We're unaware of those, so I'll move those recommendations. Seconded by Councillor Scott. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Move on to the transport update. Welcome, Mr. Collin. Quite a bit of this report revolves around the bus hub and the progress there, and then we've got the updates on Dunedin and Queenstown networks, with some rejigging of potential rejigging off the network in Queenstown. Mr. Collin, you got anything to add to that report?
No, I'll just elaborate a little bit on the bus hub.
general comment and feedback from the community is positive. Obviously, some detractors out there have built the doors a lot further than they used to. But generally, in relation to the network performance for the Dean, it is up on the annual plan target by approximately 10%. Although I do refer you back, we have seen a slight dip in the last couple of months. I've had some discussions with some of the counterparts around however, there are some challenges coming through, as you've seen with Blake. And we have to see the Queen without the network. The relocation of the Camp Street bus hub, that relocation has been brought on by the need to redevelop the Connells Mall, that was signalled to us through QLDC. Anticipating
NZTA and QLDC to ensure that's managed in a timely manner to avoid any conflict with the new ticketing system that's scheduled to come in. And happy to take any further questions.
Mr. Lord.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Collins. In terms of the express bus from Lake Hayes Estate, there's been talk of a number of different express buses. For example, another one from the likes of Arrowtown. In terms of the approach that you're taking of the working through an analysis of what it would look like to put in this express from Lake Hayes, would that discussion or process that you're working through be able to be replicated to be used in other areas, or are you having to do these one at a time? I understand it's not an overall review of the entire sort of bus service, but we are aware that there's potential that there's going to be other express routes wanting to come online in the near future.
Yeah, and that's why Lake Hayes Estate needs to be treated in isolation with the rest of the network. It will have the added benefit of providing additional peak capacity on the main corridor, which is at the moment suffering from lack of capacity. And so it's appropriate that we give that consideration. However, we just need to be careful we don't end up unpacking the entire network by giving everyone a direct service into Queenstown.
Councillor Deaker.
Yeah, I happened to be listening to National Radio yesterday morning and heard a long interview with the chief executive of the Queenstown Chamber of Commerce, I think she was, and she made quite a effusive comment about the partnership between ORC and QLDC in producing a bus service that, in her view, was transformational for the Queenstown Basin. It was great to hear that coming from a completely independent party, talking about how this had evolved and the very positive effect it was having on business, I guess, since it was a Chamber of Commerce person. And I hope that was heard and noted by many people, that we can work together with our TA partners and get things right, as we're doing here in Dunedin as well.
So that. Sorry, Councillor Scott.
Well said, Councillor Deacon. My question is, well, there's been a lot of positive things going on with the bus system, so, you know, a big well done, and I hope your team understands that, so thank you. For all the reports, like in Dunedin, you know, they've been coming back lately with patronage up 9 or 10%, and on the face of it, I should just say thank you and back off. But at some point, it would actually be quite nice to know where the ups and the downs actually are, you know, because, so, for example, when I communicate with the public, they say, well, this route's going well, that route's not, there's issues over here, you know. So I would have thought, for example, that, the, like in Dunedin, what, how many key routes would there be?
We report to council on a unit basis, which is the units grouped by the contracts that we have. There is currently approximately 20 different routes on the services.
Yeah.
And I would be happy to bring the analysis back, but it depends on the intent of the use of that analysis, because it would be really easy to provide a singular route service that performed exceedingly well and didn't have any cross-subsidy across the balance of the network.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is part of the governance responsibility is that to have some type of understanding about, and even to appreciate that this type of analysis is actually going on, so that you guys are all over it. So, for example, strategically, are they all at, you know, is it 10% across the board, or are there areas that we could be doing better? You know, this type of a little bit more detail over and above the 9 or 10%.
Happy to bring that back to this committee.
It's a strategic, you know, strategically moving forward.
As I say, happy to bring this back to the committee.
Councillor Robertson.
Yeah, thanks, and always good to have that, but also recognising that the model that we've moved to is a streamlining, I suppose, and it's based on simplicity in a way, in that it's, you know, we deliver buses every half hour, and on some routes that probably doesn't make that much sense. They've obviously got a peak time, and you could change it so that it's every, you know, 5 minutes at this time, and it's every 135 minutes at this time. But that's not the way we've gone, so we've deliberately gone with a simplified structure. And also, yeah, I think that the way you've broken it down in the appendix, which looks at the units and the patronage and the revenue for each of those units, is about the right level of reporting for us. And we well and truly recognise that some of those routes will be, you know, bringing in more money than other ones, but it's such a complex thing to analyse that, okay, well, let's just cut a few routes, but then that goes in the newspaper, and then people think, well, the buses are, you know, not performing because we haven't got good coverage, and it's quite a complex picture. So I think we've done so much thinking on the coverage and also simplifying that sticking with this model at the moment is really crucial to the success as well. And we're seeing success, which is fantastic too. Doesn't mean that you're not going to analyse and plan for future changes and efficiencies, but at the moment I think we're getting a really good level of reporting and feedback and actually seeing a difference. So it is working. And yeah, thanks for the reporting, and thanks for the great work both in Dunedin and Queenstown.
Any other comment, Councillor?
Thank you. I just want to ask you about the actual book that you get in the mail, and then the other little one. There's been some talk about that, and I just would like to ask you, are you happy with it? Would you change it again differently, the format?
I think the communications team has done a really, really good job in consolidating the network down into a single platform that's easy to understand. The confusion I think that's come in from the community is they're taking the handout, and then they're also looking at the booklet that's been provided for those with generally visual impairments. So it's much larger text. It gives a consolidated timetable, and it's treated as an add-on as opposed to the necessary full-fledged timetable itself. And I think maybe we haven't quite got the communication message right. There was talk of not producing that at all in the beginning. And that is something that we probably need to consider at the next round. But generally, I'm pretty impressed with the way that the network has been shown by the communication staff. No, it hasn't. It hasn't been looked at again. And again, this is about assessing the demand and where to put the expenditure in. We've got an in-committee paper that we'll need to discuss shortly. The Palmerston service itself is performing reasonably well, but we still have one further round before we've got the entire network in place. So to be making additional services for what is, well, I personally consider a reasonably small community who are reasonably well serviced at this point in time, and treating that in isolation, I think, would be disconcerting at this point.
Okay, we note the recommendation that this report be received. Moved by Councillor Hope, seconded by Councillor Robertson. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. The next paper, 11.2, is Remuneration Authority Determinations 1920. That's basically about representation arrangements for this council, largely post the election, where one of the main things is moving from a partial pool to a full pool arrangement. So, Mr. Donnelly, any comment on this?
The paper is really just a heads up that that there will be a two-part process for the determination from 1 July until the election under the existing basis of remuneration, and then the full pool approach will happen post the election for the new council to determine how that's allocated. But the key thing with the paper is that council just needs to confirm that there won't be any changes to the governance structure, i.e., you know, the number of committee chairs and payments for additional responsibilities. And that's the key thing in the recommendation, is just noting the paper and confirming that there are no changes, because if there was any changes, that would need to be sent and to the Remuneration Authority by the 17th of May, so that they can include any changes in the determination for the period from 1 July until the election.
No changes for this to the election?
Until the election, yes.
Yeah. Any comment on this paper? To me, it makes a lot of sense. Councillor Scott?
Well, I assume that there won't be any changes. There have been, at a staff level, some structural changes, and so maybe that's a question that needs to be asked to the CE. I'm assuming that, I mean, from your perspective, did you expect any changes from a governance committee? It's been dovetailed together.
We're talking about maybe committees yeah. here, Councillor Scott.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, there may be a discussion for the new triennium about just rejigging the committee slightly, but nothing that I think needs to be feedback through here.
Councillor Robertson.
I just move the recommendation.
Yep. Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Deeger. All those in favour, say
aye.
Aye. Against, carried. Now we'll move on to into committee to exclude public, please. Mr. Colling, we note that he can stay on in this in committee part of the meeting. So I move we go into committee, or seconded by Councillor Neil. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Carried. I declare the